And here we are Friday, back to school here at St. Henry. Kevin Sandler with you, your host. I want to thank St. Henry Bank, Hall Brothers, Cooper Farms, and Kalp Pharmacy. And we have Ethan Brunswick and Ben, right? Ben Wendell here. They are juniors with a bowling team who just qualified for state, right? That just happened, right?
Yeah, it just happened yesterday.
So let's hear about it, first of all. What'd you guys do and share with us what's next?
So first, we started out by bowling. Whenever you get to districts, you actually have to get through sectionals first, and that's always a challenging pattern since the oil patterns and lanes were a little messed up to where it was kind of hard to get there, but we kind of made it through. And then first, for districts, we had to bowl three games and six Bakers, and the games is where all five people bowl, and it's pretty fun, actually. But it was really hard. We had probably bowled our best all season during districts to really help us get to the second place.
And for you, how long have you been bowling? And for you, will this be your first time at state?
This is our second time at state. Okay. All of us went last year, too. That was pretty fun, where we actually got sixth place. And I've been bowling since fourth grade, almost, in just little leagues at Coldwater at Playmore Lanes.
What was it about sport of bowling that drew you to it?
I actually didn't want to start at first. I was really hesitant and kind of wanted to fight my mom over it. But eventually she made me go with my now best friend almost, Braden Heiprink, that he really helped me start the league, and I guess it helped us push us all through it, because then I got most of them hooked on it.
Say, mom knows best, right?
Yeah.
She knew what you needed, so good for you. And Ben, how about for you? Share with us your thoughts on making it to state and kind of how it happened. I mean, obviously you guys had a good match, right?
Yeah. So the expectations were set very high after our state finish last year. Well, our coach actually told us in the beginning of the year that he already had the hotel rooms booked. So that kind of set the tone for how this year was going to go. And our coach is very tough on us. But I think that helps us push to be better and to rely on our teammates to overcome our difficulties.
Okay, and let's give a shout out. Who is your coach? Tell everybody, right?
Our coach is Noah Stahman. Pretty young guy that's just teaching us about bowling. This is his first year as the head coach. Last year, he was an assistant coach. Our previous coach was Travis Schlater, and he did a really good job giving us the basics on little things that we could improve on. And I think that really shot us up. Me, Jack, and Ethan were all in varsity our freshman year, so I think that is a testament to his coaching and give us some edge on, we know what it's like to be in the tougher situations on varsity when things matter a lot and each pin counts.
Excellent. Now for you, how long have you been bowling?
I couldn't probably put a year on it, but I'd probably say around sixth grade, because my brother was always into bowling. And I think being the younger brother, you always want to follow in your older sibling's footsteps. And I think he also showed me a lot, and he helped me a lot. So I feel like I couldn't be here today without him. So thanks, Caleb. It means a lot.
Excellent. Now you have brought with you, this is Jack, right?
Yeah, this is Jack.
We're going to let you move on in and talk a little there. And Jack, first of all, thank you for joining us. We'll give you a second there to kind of get set up. And so if you would be so kind, talk to us about, you know, yesterday and how that went. And obviously, I'm sure there was joy and relief, because after all, when your coach is already booking the hotel rooms, right, you know you got to perform, right?
Yeah. So overall, I thought it was a very tough day at the start, you know, going through it all. But after a little while, the lanes were pretty easy. We kind of knew how they would play throughout practice. We were playing on them for about two weeks, practice for a while. So we kind of knew the layout, knew how they're going to play. And a lot of just hard work and dedication throughout the year helped us get there.
And for you, you know, how long have you been bowling yourself?
Same as Ben. We actually started about the same time. He's my cousin. So his older brother got me into it a bit. And then so about sixth grade is when I started too.
Excellent, excellent. And I wanted to obviously thank you, you know, for coming here. And we'll, you know, keep it moving here. By process of elimination, you would be Vinny, right?
Yep, I'm Vincent Lochtefeld.
Vincent Lochtefeld, good to talk to you. So talk to us how long you've been bowling, and from your perspective, how did things go yesterday, right?
I started bowling my seventh grade year. Really didn't start. actually bowling competitively till about my freshman year, but I thought yesterday went pretty well. I started the first game, and after five frames, I got taken out. I didn't do very good, but the rest of the day, I kind of sat the bench, supported. We kind of had fun the whole time, which was the best part.
Is that, you know, just kind of part of it, that some days are better than others like that?
Yeah, the biggest thing for me is just to show up, be happy, and be loud, because the louder I get, the quieter everybody else gets, and the worse the other teams bowl typically.
Oh, okay, that works. I didn't know. I didn't know there was like fan pressure when you're bowling, right?
That's a little bit. There's a little bit of defense there.
Excellent. And for those that are just tuning in, kind of talk to us about what next, where you go to state, where it is, for how long, and so on.
It's at HP Lanes next Friday, but we'll go up Thursday, like in the middle of the school day, because after the girls are done bowling on Thursday, we get a practice on the lanes they bowled on, and then Friday we'll actually get a bowl.
And for you, do you just kind of see bowling as kind of always being a part of your life, one way or the other? Because unlike a lot of sports, you can bowl your whole life, really.
Yeah, I think bowling will be a part of my life for as long as I live.
Nothing wrong with that. Another thing I wanted to ask, too, especially since I have four of you, I know you're juniors, you got a little bit of time to figure this out, but have you thought about, you know, your career aspirations, right? What you might want to do someday after high school?
I figured I'd work with my dad and be an auto mechanic for the rest of my life.
Okay, and, you know, have you had some experience with that already?
Yep, so about every Saturday and some days of the week, I'll go out if he has a car out there. Because sometimes he'll take a car home from work if they really couldn't get it done and it needs done. But I'll just help work alongside, and then I started driving last year, and I had to do, like, all the work on my own car. At least I'm there watching and helping out.
And what is it about it that appeals to you? I imagine there is some satisfaction at taking things apart, fixing them, you know, that so on and so forth.
Yeah, it's hard to sit still, so it's something I can do with my body, and it changes every year. There's new technology, so I get to keep learning, and I love learning.
Yep, a lot of, I think years ago, people would say, well, my car's making a funny noise or something, or as opposed to, well, the check engine light is on. You tell me, right?
Yep.
All right. To become auto mechanic, will you be going to school for that, or how's that work?
You can go to college for it, or you can just like start right out of high school. It's like I'm currently not planning on going to college because there's trainings that they have. So like if I want to go work, you can either do your college route, or like you can do your ASC route, or maybe a dealer specific certification that you can get through the dealership instead of going to college.
Excellent. And we certainly wish you luck with that. And then let's kind of move on here again. And we're going to talk again to Ben.
Yeah. Right?
Ben, again, wanted to, talk to you about what might be coming next, for you after high school.
I'm hoping to do mechanical engineering and hopefully get into like Honda or some sort of car manufacturer. I really do enjoy how cars work, and I kind of want to design them, make them, and, you know, see how they drive. So that's what I hope to do, go to college right after high school and pursue my career.
Excellent, excellent. It's neat to have that kind of planned out, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And do you do other things, you know, besides bowling? Any other activities you're in?
I do cross country in the fall time, and I used to do track. I quit.
Well, and you know what? Sometimes you realize you get involved in a lot of things, and you don't want to spread yourself too thin.
Yeah.
You know,
it was just too much. I mean, I don't really enjoy it as much as I do my other sports, so.
You prioritize.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that at all. Time management, it's a thing. Some of us are still working on that. So, Ethan, for you, I'm going to take a wild guess here and say that, like, ag industrial technology is going to kind of be your thing because you're wearing the uniform, right?
Yeah, this is my TriStar shirt. We got these. I really like the TriStar class. They let us go on 8th grade tours, and that's something that's really big for a lot of us around here. TriStar is really good at showing you what careers help you out the best. Like Jack goes to TriStar, and Vinny also goes to TriStar, and I think they both love it. But I think I want to really work at North Star Hardware and implement. I really love that place. It's kind of gets you hands on. I do a lot of stuff there.
I was going to say, do you work there? Are you part time? Are you interning? How's that go?
I'm part time. So right now I just work Tuesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays, I guess, because bowling practices are on Monday and Wednesdays. And I guess most Saturdays I get up there, you get to do oil changes, change booms, change anything you really can.
It sounds like it's fun work, isn't it?
Yeah.
And also a thank you to North Star Hardware and Implement. They're a fine company and a great advertiser for WCSM Radio. So we thank them. You know, and talk to us also about getting to go to TriStar. Were you familiar much with the building before you kind of had your first tour? Tell us about that.
I had no idea about it. I had no idea what I was walking into eighth grade year. And finally, we just all got to go. And you get to see all these different classrooms and all these things that it gets you out of school. Like, it gets us out of our first four periods, and that's huge for someone like me and Vinny, where we can't sit still or we'll fall asleep in class because sitting down gets really bored. But TriStar, you get lab time and you get a break. You get, like, right now I'm working on my own truck and replacing head gaskets, and it's really interesting right now.
You don't fall asleep. That's the good part, right? And that's for this year. I know at seniors, you'll actually go in the afternoon, I think, is how that works at TriStar. But quite a facility, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really nice.
Really nice. I really love the kind of open, like, student union kind of area where you can eat and things like that. Yeah. And it's quite a campus. We've been out there a couple times to broadcast, and we've just always heard raving great things about it. So
yeah, it really opens your eyes up.
Well, that's for sure. And probably, you know, new friends, new classmates, right? Because, I mean, all the districts go there, so.
Yeah, I've met a lot of different people. I know almost everyone in my class now by their name and where they live and been to their houses. I've met a lot more people than I ever thought.
Now, do you guys ever, you know, since you are kind of different schools, for like Friday nights and things like that, any funny bets ever go on for football games, basketball games?
It's crazy. Even bowling, because we actually have a lot of bowlers in our class. We'll gamble on bowling. It'd be like $5 if you don't, or if you don't make it to state. Like, that's what we did with me and Riley Stallman. That was pretty fun.
That is fun. And of course, I'm sure when you get to Monday after a big game at TriStar, you look and you think, why are you wearing a St. Henry shirt? Well, it's because I lost the bet, right?
that's amazing.
That is always a lot of fun. So good luck. I'm sure you're going to do really well.
Yep, perfect. Thank
you. And, you know, again, we're going to this time talk with Jack. Again.
Ben.
My bad. And Ben, for us, talk to us about what's going to be next for you, you know, in the future.
I'm planning to go to college for electrical or mechanical engineering. Unlike the other three guys here, I go to the Lake campus right now currently for calculus. So instead of going to TriStar, I can really just sit and I can just absorb learning more than Vinny and Ethan can. So, and that's no shame to them. I think it's just how we learn differently. And I'm trying to get some college done before I have to take some loans out of the bank, because not too excited for that part, but I think it'll be a good opportunity for me.
Yeah, no question about that. And you're right, we're all a little different. We all learn differently. And, you know, obviously some are like you. They're kind of calm. They'll stay in class. Some of us also still tend to be very hyper to this day, right? And so, yeah, we're all kind of different in that regard. Talk to us, if you would, about, you know, people that are listening is here at Lake Campus might not always know that, yes, you can get college credit right here in high school.
Yeah, so I'm not sure how many people are aware, but I would tell you that probably over half, even three quarter of at least the juniors and seniors in St. Henry take some sort of college credit plus class, which is basically just you take a college course during high school and it counts towards an elective here at school and it counts towards a college credit when you transfer to a college. So it's a lot of good opportunity for kids, especially if they get some of these classes and they realize, oh, this is nothing like high school is. I'm not sure college is the right choice for me. And then they'll steer them away. But if they're like, oh, like this is something I enjoy, then it steers them in the right direction. And I feel like it helps kids get college done a little quicker and a little more cheaper so they can start their career earlier and hopefully enjoy what they're doing.
That's certainly right. And another thing, too, that, you know, people to learn about, sometimes, you know, some of us are more mathematically challenged than others, we can say. And for you, I mean, is that one of your best subjects?
Yeah, I'd probably say math's one of my better subjects. At times, it's always challenging, but I feel like that's any subject with any person, regardless of what your ability is. I mean, overall, I'm a pretty good student, I'd say. And some classes are more challenging. Right now I'm taking physics, and that class is definitely testing my math and science, which what I would thought is my better subjects. It's definitely testing it and making sure I can understand concepts a little better. But then it's also pushing myself in other areas, like my English class. I took an English writing class this semester, last semester, and that definitely challenged me because I'm not a writer. So that definitely pushed me to be a better writer. And then I'm taking AP government. So that's another heavy class load, and just remembering a lot of information and just being able to apply it to different concepts.
Do you think it's a good thing, like a healthy thing, to be challenged? I mean, even though you're probably not enjoying yourself, going, man, I can't figure this stuff out. I got to hunker down, but that's good for you, isn't it?
Yeah, I think there's a fine line. If you're not challenging yourself at all, I think that's not learning. You're kind of just wasting both your time and your teacher's time. But I feel like right now I'm challenging myself a good amount. I'm still hanging out with all my friends on the weekends. I'm getting my homework done. I'm getting my good grades. So right now I'm doing good, but I feel like there is a point to where you're challenging yourself beyond what you can achieve. And I feel like that's leading to people getting burnt out or have like a negative look on themselves because they don't feel accomplished when they're setting maybe unrealistic goals to themselves.
All right, excellent. And, you know, something just to kind of briefly explain, what are some of the things you might study in physics? What are some of the things you're learning about?
So right now we're learning about centripetal acceleration and centripetal force. And we just did some units on momentum and energy. Jack, what are some other things that we did? Yeah, a lot of forces. We're learning about orbits right now and how the planets work, and it's a little confusing at first, but our teacher gives us a little equation card that we can use to basically just plug and chug numbers as long as we know what we're supposed to be doing in a certain question.
I know about centrifugal force because when I was a kid, we went on one of those rides.
You
would have thought you would have fallen out of it, but as it was explained to me, centrifugal force was what kept us in the ride.
Yeah, actually, when we were doing our notes over it, that's one of the things that she showed us. So it was like, this is something that, like, we don't, it's not just a thing you learn in a physics class, just forget about. Like, people actually, whether they think about it or not, people actually use all of the things that we learn in physics, maybe not every day in their life, but like, even when you're driving, whether you realize it or not, you still have that force on you. Even when you're just driving around on like a straight road, you're still driving around the earth with a sphere. So you still have that force pointing towards the center. So I think that's something, it's kind of enlightening. And for me, it's kind of testament to how good God made the earth and how scientific he made things.
Well, and you know what? And today, it was kind of like I was being blown all over the road, like everybody was. It's pretty windy out there. For you, also, As part of this goes, you got this year and another year of high school. I'm sure you're driving now.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, that had to be. And you also have a part time job in there too.
Yeah. So on my free time, I work at St. Charles Seminary in the kitchen, and then I'm on the fire department as well as a junior firefighter. Me and Ethan's also on the junior fire department for Burgettsville. So we spend our time just if we can throughout the day when there's a fire run, duty calls. So you have to just drop whatever you're doing for the most part and just accept the task that's given to you.
What being on junior fire, being junior firefighters, share with us, what are some of the things you do or can do?
So actually, if they have like a wreck, we'll be the ones to help clean it up, or like get floor dry. But if there's like a big fire, they'll let us unload hoses, drive with the tanker, refill the tanker, get drop tanks out, which are just tanks that you dump, tankers will drive by and just dump a bunch of water in. And then it'll suck it up with like a quint. It's really complicated, but it works out.
I believe you.
it's definitely unique. My family has a big firefighting experience, so I think I was definitely called to it. Like my dad is assistant chief, and I have over a dozen family members that are on fire departments.
Give your dad a shout out. Who's your dad?
Joseph Wendell.
Excellent.
And Aaron Brunswick, Ethan's dad, used to be Burgettsville's chief.
Yes, yeah, he used to be. That's really neat, though, that you guys can do that at your age. And I think we put that out there because if anyone else is listening where they are, that they could get involved in that, too.
Yeah, so it's not hard to sign up either.
Excellent.
All it takes is just a lot of effort and time. And it definitely pushes sometimes, like, oh, I really don't want to do this right now. But you have to put in the time to do it.
I was going to say also, you know, for you, it's really neat hearing how you got your life planned out and, you got the job, you're driving and everything. It you know, it's really kind of pushing you on that road to adulthood, isn't it?
Yeah, it definitely, at times it's like, can I just stay here for a bit?
I understand that feeling, yes.
But I think it's nice just knowing that there's more to life than just going to school for 8 hours a day. I know work is sort of the same thing, different concept, but I think having so much planned, I know things can change, but I think that also makes the present, hanging out with your friends and just enjoying the moment, a little bit more special, because I realize I'm not going to have all the time in the world to just sit back and relax.
That's true. Do it now, right? That's what it's about. All right. I want to thank, you know, all of you for coming. Certainly fun to talk about, not just bowling, obviously, and we have so much to talk about. We hit on TriStar, and, you know, firefighters, and, you know, so much other stuff, and fixing things and everything, and we appreciate that. And most of all, though, good luck at state, right?
Perfect.
I'm sure you guys
Thank
feel
you.
Like, hey, you made it all that way, so let's go win one, right?
Oh, That's yeah, we're going to give it our best shot.
Excellent. Thank you to everybody. We are doing Back to School at St. Henry. I want to thank Cooper Farms and Kelp Pharmacy, Tom's Construction, and Shockman Lumber, as now we are talking with Mr. Putoff again, superintendent. But today, Adam, we're talking about bus drivers today, right?
Yeah, one of the you know, most important components of a school district is ensuring your kids get to and from school safely. And we have some fantastic bus drivers and always looking for some more.
And so let's hear about that. Maybe first thing we'll talk about is who can be a bus driver? First question.
Yeah. So 21 years or older have the opportunity to do that. Actually, the state of Ohio actually passed some legislation to allow, if your board policy approves of it, even 18-year-olds to go and drive school bus. But essentially, there's one class you have to sit through. It's about 16 hours worth of training and getting you prepped and ready to go. Then you have to acquire a permit, drive with an OBI, so you get training on the school bus itself, maneuverability, understanding what all goes into a pre-trip that you do before you drive every day to ensure that the bus is safe and everything is working properly. And then you go, once you do that driving and get that training, then you go off to do your CDL test and then pass that, and then open road, here you come.
And let's also hear about, you know, what kind of hours are we talking about for a bus driver?
Yeah, so for us here at St. Henry, most of our morning routes start at 7 a.m. And conclude around 7:45, 7:50. And then again, at the end of the day, 3 o'clock to about 3:50, 3:45, depending upon the route that you have. I think that's another obstacle that can come in the way a little bit of finding bus drivers, because we need you an hour in the morning and an hour at the end of the day. But again, we have currently at St. Henry, we have 6 bus routes, plus a route that just runs to the daycare and back. Mary Jo Dell's site has been driving for us for like 30 years, and she's retiring at the conclusion of this school year. So we'll definitely have a bus route opening here at St. Henry. Just another shout out to Doug Watercutter, Ron Deuce, Brad Rindler, Tom Marshall, and Justin Wenning. There are our route drivers in the morning. I do the daycare route every day, so I hop in the big old yellow thing on a daily basis as well. And, you know, very appreciative of those people and what they do for our district.
All right. Yeah, that was my question, you know, in the morning and then in the afternoon. What do bus drivers do in between then?
It kind of all depends. We have two that are farmers, so they come and go. Mary Jo is our transporter throughout the day. We have different students that need to go to different places. I know with the guys you spoke with before, TriStar, so we have to make sure we have transportation to and from TriStar for our students. And we work collaboratively with other school districts as well to help with transporting them from St. Henry to Salina and then back. So there are some shuttles in between there that for us Mary Jo takes care of. Right now, and it's pretty similar with most districts that we have people throughout the day doing those things.
So it sounds to me like perhaps an ideal candidate for a bus driver might be somebody who is a retiree, right? Just wants some part-time hours.
Yeah, I mean, I look at that for myself. I got my bus driving license about 12 years ago, and again, it was something that at the time when I was a teacher, that I'm like, you know what, I definitely think this fits my schedule well. A little extra money, but then also, too, you know the kids, so it makes the whole process a little bit easier. So, again, it's something that I look to the future as something that I can do when I retire. Keeps you a part of the community, interaction with kids, and then, again, a service that you can provide back to your community, your students, your school, and keeps you involved a little bit.
Is it difficult to drive a bus? What is it like to drive one of those big yellow things?
Yeah, I tell people all the time, it's just a big van. And a lot of time people are. They're intimidated by the physical size of it. But in reality, once you start driving it, it's really no different than driving a car. The biggest thing is it's a little longer. You got to be careful with that tail whip when you're making sharp turns and things of that nature. But a lot of times, if you get behind the wheel and go, you realize it's really not that bad.
Oh, right. And automatic transmission, right?
Yes. Yeah. We have no stick shift driving school buses anymore, because I don't know if I would be able to drive then.
And how about power steering?
Yes. Yes, everything. They're pretty equipped now. We're actually in the process of purchasing a school bus for next year. And again, one of the standard components that come on the buses now are even backup cameras. Which is nice, just because there's some blind spots that you have, but again, it's another safety feature that makes it just a little bit better.
Excellent. And as far as the pay to do this, what can people realistically expect? Give them a ballpark figure.
Yeah, ballpark. There's a range of experience there, but I mean, you're looking anywhere from mid $20 an hour to mid $30 an hour rates based upon your experience. If you drive a full route. There is insurance that comes with that, too, if you drive a full route for St. Henry. Some options there as well to try to entice people to do that. So, again, you continue to try to find ways to recruit. And, again, they are extremely important to the safety. They're the first people most kids see in the morning when they come to school, the last ones they see when they leave. So very impactful in what they do.
Excellent. The first thing people would do if they have an interest, I imagine, is call or email you.
Yeah, absolutely. Reach out to the central office or myself, and we will hook you up with all the information that is needed in order to do that. Another big component, you talked about, could be a good retirement job. The idea that if you love sporting events and things of that nature, that's another major component, not just daily routes, but all the extracurricular activities that we transport students to, could give you an opportunity to go watch your grandchild play, and you get paid to do it. I think there's a lot of opportunities and flexibility within the schedule of driving a bus.
Yeah, and again, you'll be doing, certainly kids a service and your school district, because as you said, the bus drivers are needed right now, you know?
They absolutely are, and I know some of the other comments I get at times about driving bus is, well, how am I going to keep control of all these kids on the school bus? And I just tell them over and over again, our kids behave, that is not something that I would be worried about or concerned about, because at the end of the day, if they don't behave, then they go in the hands of our administration and things of that nature, and we address the issue, we're very, very fortunate here at St. Henry that is not something we have to deal with very often.
And not just that, I mean, there's cameras on the bus these days, and kids know that.
Yeah. Absolutely.
We didn't have that growing up, but we largely behaved anyway, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, and again, it goes back to a great community service with driving a school bus, and our kids are great. And you talk to bus drivers, some of the things that they'll articulate to you more so than anything is the relationships that they build with the kids that they pick up, Mary Jo would be the first to tell you, that's the thing she's going to miss the most. Is the relationships that she's had, because she's picked up a whole family of kids over a course of decades and really getting to know them. And that's, a bonus and a positivity to driving.
We're talking to Adam Putoff. If you're just tuning in, St. Henry Superintendent, he's talking about the need for bus drivers. Another thing I wanted to ask you about, too, how are you on substitute teachers? Do you need any of those?
Yeah, that's an arena, too, that is not as plentiful as it used to be. I would say 10 to 15 years ago, there might be 300 to 400 people on our sub list here in Mercer County, and now we're under 100. So the availability there has been something of difficulty for all districts to be able to fill. We actually had a superintendent's meeting yesterday, and that was a topic of conversation for us as well, of how do you continue to try to, how can we collectively work together to try to solve that problem.
I know there are times because you got to go on with class. So we hear about maybe the it's the principal in class today. Mm-hmm. Does the superintendent ever have to go teach?
Yeah, I do occasionally, just because it gives me an opportunity to get in front of kids again, because I love it. But yeah, I mean, I was an elementary principal for 8 years prior to moving into this role, and there were many days that I was teaching kindergarten or teaching third grade, or call it what you will, because you do what needs to be done to make sure the kids get the best education for that day. So sometimes it requires moving people around to fill those voids. But that is a big thing for our administration to take on right now, of how do you move all those pieces around and still get your job done for that day. And it can be very, very timely.
And, you know, the reason, you know, obviously to have subs is you don't want to miss work. But, you know, even if you're a teacher, you can still get sick, right? It's not like teachers are immune to something that might be going around. And the only way you're going to get over it is to call in that day, right?
Absolutely. And I hate to say that that's a side effect of this, is it puts a lot more pressure on educators in general not to miss, because they feel guilty if their classes can't be covered. And I know something I did as a principal, and I still do now, is you need to take care of you. You're allowed to do that. You get those days for a reason. You're allowed to utilize those. But it's, again, I think for leadership, it's like, how can we get more creative with our abilities to try to take a little of that pressure off by being able to get these classes covered? But again, it's an ongoing challenge.
That's for sure. And I imagine it also picks up a bit in the winter, right? Because we all get those winter colds and other things too.
Yeah, it's the momentum of that. It's like, well, it hasn't hit yet, but you know it's going to. But again, you work together to resolve those.
Maybe, and also the lure of being a sub, it might be that somebody, maybe they're in school to be a teacher. This will give them some experience. Others, again, could be retired, and it might be fun to kind of keep their foot in the door and teach subjects they never had taught before or gone to school districts, right? Because you said it's like a Mercer County list. So somebody might have made a career right here at St. Henry. Now they're retired. They could get a call from Marion or something saying, well, second grade teacher couldn't make it today. And now you're doing something you never had done before, right?
No, and it's a great opportunity and experience. I know occasionally I would have to sub in music class for Mrs. Hemmelgarten. I would always tell her, me and music don't go together very well, so they're probably going to get a history lesson today because I was a past history teacher. But again, that fun interaction. They've also changed the requirements too now that you just have to have a high school diploma in Mercer County to be able to sub in our school district. So that has opened up the opportunity for more, especially those in college that have maybe pursuing education can now, if they have time, can come in and get some experience within the classroom.
You know, to teach music, do you play any instruments yourself?
Now, I was in the band for a couple of years in middle school a long time ago, played the trumpet, but I'm pretty sure I couldn't do much other than make a really loud noise that might hurt your ear.
It's funny when you talked about you'll teach him history, and it's like, yeah, we can do classic rock history or something. we're not playing anything, you know?
No. It's fun. Again, the interaction with kids and building relationships with them and feeling like you're making a positive impact on them, whether you're a bus driver, whether you're a custodian, whether you work in the cafeteria, whether you're a sub aide or a sub teacher. I mean, you all have an impact on the youth, and we appreciate those who do it.
You talked about a superintendent's meeting that you had. Was did pretty much all the Mercer County, area kind of superintendents make it there, or
they did? Yeah. We have just a Mercer County superintendent's meeting, and then we also have a larger superintendent's meeting that includes all the people who have some form of service from our Mercer County ESC. We work, and then we also had a TriStar meeting too with all the superintendents that have our schools send kids to TriStar. So we're constantly working together, communicating, you know, helping each other solve problems that we have, because we all have similar difficulties or challenges, and we do. We work very well together and have really good relationships on how can we help one another get to where we need to be.
I imagine a room of superintendents is pretty neat. A lot of stuff to talk about, lots going on.
It's a variety of things. I mean, it's – the list of and the variety is never ending. And but that support group there is very helpful for all of us to feel like we're not alone.
I know when you stepped into the superintendent's role, I'm sure you had some area mentors that you could quickly call and go, how do you deal with this? And they'd say, oh, Adam, we got you. This is what you do.
Yeah, when I took over, Julie Garkey was superintendent here for 9 years prior to me taking over. And I just told her, you're not allowed to move and you're not allowed to change your cell phone number.
Right.
until I give you permission. But, you know, she's been great, but so has the other area superintendents. I mean, we're the only ones in our district that do the job that we do, so it's important to be able to have other people to be able to talk to and pick their brain and so on.
Does she occasionally still sub or come in or something? I've heard her name a few times.
Well, she stepped in. My first year as superintendent, our elementary principal went on maternity leave, so she came in and filled it.
I remember,
and filled in for us, so she's always around. I meet her for lunch occasionally just to pick her brain a little bit or just to catch up. She is all about St. Henry and wanting what is best for this community and this school. And she hangs out a little bit. We were able to actually talk her husband into becoming a bus driver. So
How about that?
He actually was, he got his license this year and has sub drove for us this year. So again, a great addition and continuing to support us, even though she no longer is employed here.
The education field, that seems like one of those things that it gets in your blood, doesn't it? You may be retired, so to speak, but you're never really out of it in a sense.
No, I mean, again, I think education is an arena that, I mean, it's a calling. I mean, you do it for a reason, and that just doesn't leave you because, you know, you retired. You want to continue to give back. You want what's best for kids, and sometimes that means your time. And so I do. I think it's a great profession, a great calling, and something I really enjoy.
How about also, you know, we talked about how it finally got warmer. You got the snow out of here, and then we look and like what has happened today, right? How the weather has turned. And I kind of was thinking about the bus drivers with that kind of wind.
Absolutely. This morning, that's what I told them. I meet them out there every morning when they're doing pre-trips and whatnot, and just, again, building relationships and conversation. But I said, enjoy the morning because it was really calm and beautiful out. And then I had to run out to the athletic facility later this morning and about blew away. So it's a change sure.
You can feel it when you're on the road. I mean, that's there's wind and then there's obnoxious.
To give credit to the bus drivers that we had a few Fridays ago when they left the lot at 7 a.m. and there was not a flake on the ground. And then by the time they were done with their route that Friday morning, we had about over 2 inches of snow on the ground. It was probably one of the most nervous mornings I had as a superintendent. But they handled it with class and profession and were able to get all of our kids in safely and things of that nature. So kudos to them, and it shows the importance of those people.
In all the years, you know, we've certainly had storms that were worse, but that was the worst timed storm I've ever seen.
That timing was just – I've never seen anything like that in the timing. I mean, it couldn't have been at a worse time. And that's what we as superintendents a lot of times – and again, we talked about this yesterday's – I think the thing that most superintendents dislike the most is fog, just because it moves, it changes like that. It can come on and then all of a sudden you're out and about and now what do you do? You know, so weather can cause quite a bit of stress for us.
Yep, that's how it goes, you know, here in the Midwest, right?
Yep.
And we're never fully out of it because you're right, you can get rid of the snow, but the fog can come any time. Of course, we've just dealt with fog. We had snow that long ago, and then last night we had some good thunder showers thrown in for good measure. So got a little of all four seasons this week.
Absolutely. Like they say all the time in Ohio, if you don't like the weather, just wait a little bit.
That's
true. It'll change.
Well, and then we'll probably dislike it even more when it does change in 5 minutes. So let's also hear about some of the things coming up. But here we are Friday night, got some games coming up, activities, things for the weekend in St. Henry.
Yeah, absolutely. We have our swimmers are swimming right now in BG. So hoping them the best in their competitions and that they have this morning at BG University there. Our boys play home tonight against Fort Recovery. It's senior night for our 8 seniors. And we have also recognizing our 3 senior cheerleaders as well. So that will conclude our boys basketball season tonight. Next Wednesday, our girls play at Walpock against Marion. Marion beat Coldwater last night. So our girls will play Marion and Walpock at 6 on Wednesday next week. And then we host our first round of our boys play Lima Perry next Friday here at home at 6 p.m. So tournament's ramping up, and our, as you just talked with our bowlers, they bowl next Friday in Columbus and State. So a lot going on.
That's for sure. And again, thank you for having us this week. We were talking off, Mike. We can't believe how quick a week goes by. I can't believe it's Friday already.
It seems like every year everything just goes a little bit faster, a little bit faster. So,
well, we're going to look forward to talking to you again here, you know, in a couple more years. And don't be a stranger. We're going to have you on, and you know, obviously during that time, and hopefully, you know, teachers, your new athletic director, when you hire them, we'll get to know them. And won't that be a lot of fun, right?
Yes, it will be. We have started that process, and then hopefully here in the next month or so, we'll have that figured out. And again, we. Excited for some new faces, and look to a great end of the 25-26 school year.
All right, and we are back to school here in St. Henry, courtesy of Hemmelgarn Marathon, Bender Electric, Carriage Works, and Shockman Lumber. And now our topic is the members of the St. Henry High School Band. We have three seniors here, and beginning with our first person, share with us your name, please.
My name is Ava Watercutter.
Ava, and again, you're obviously a senior. How long have you been in band, and what do you play?
I have been in band since the fifth grade when we could join, and I started in the marching band in eighth grade. And so I play the snare drum, and I'm kind of the section leader right now.
All right. What drew you to that instrument?
Well, as a kid, I always played piano, so I was, like, really good with, like, the mallets and stuff, like the bell part, and I just loved playing rhythms and stuff, so it came easy to me.
How many instruments do you play altogether?
Just the piano, the drums. That's really it.
That's pretty good, actually. It's two more instruments than most people play, right? When you think back on your experiences in band, I'm sure there's a lot of things you remember, like a lot of games, for example, right?
Well, I would say my favorite football game I've ever been to was when we played Marion Local this year. It was so much fun, like electric. Everyone was excited, and the band just being there. The War March, it was just such a fun environment to be in. Every single Friday, it's always fun.
You know, when a team wins a game, I always say that little assist to the band, because you got to have that music there, right? It's not the same without the band. You know, somebody's got to play the fight song and all that stuff when they score and what have you. So, it's pretty neat that you got to be there for that. Excellent. For you also, you know, when not in the marching band, I mean, there are certain favorite songs that you like to play in band?
One of my favorite songs we play is Uma Thurman. I don't know who sings it, but there's this one drum break part that the percussion section plays, and it's always super fun. So Uma Thurman, really any of the songs. We played Come On Eileen this year for our blower show. I really like that one. I just love all the songs we play.
And for you, when you're done with school, what's next for you? What are your future plans?
So right now, I don't know where I'm going to college yet, but I want to go to school to be an occupational therapist. So that's kind of the plan right now, kind of major in psychology or something and go to school for that.
Excellent. What drew you to that field?
I just always love being around people, and I like to like help people. And obviously with this career, I'd be like assisting people who like need like obviously help in their lives. And I just want to be able to make a difference. And I just think it's super cool.
Okay, and you know, and you have time to figure out too, like where you want to go to school, because I'm sure there's a lot of that will teach you that career, right? Mm-hmm. Well, good for you. And so people understand too, like what the time commitment is if you're going to be in the band. How often do you practice? How often do you guys get together to do that? And how many like events do you have?
So in the summer, we start off with band camp, and that's a whole week long. So we're basically there from 9 a.m. in the morning. And then we end at 9 p.m. in the night. But we have a lunch break in the between. So that's like, 5 days long? And then in the summer, we obviously do parades like Salina Lake Fest, Coldwater Parade, and the Mercer County band show. We play our blower show there. And then on top, like through all the summer, we have summer practices, which is from 6 to 9 at night. And then when school starts, practice goes from 6 to 8.
Excellent. All right. So obviously it's a commitment, but it pays off, doesn't it? All right. It sounds like a lot of fun. All right. Let's talk to our next person here. Share with us your name and what you play.
My name's Grace Merrill, and I play the trombone.
What brought you to the trombone? What made you decide to try that?
I'm not really sure. Whenever I didn't always go to school at St. Henry. I went to Fort Recovery. And there was one day when they brought in all the instruments and they let you, like, try them out and see which one you wanted to pick. And I really wanted to play something that my brothers didn't play, and they played the trumpet. So then I chose, like, the longer version, I guess, of a trumpet.
Okay. The trombone. That would be the trombone, right? And certainly its own unique kind of sound, right?
Yeah.
Did you have a hard time learning it? How did that come for you?
In the fifth grade, I got really frustrated with myself because I guess my mom would call me like a perfectionist, and nobody really sounded good on their instrument in the fifth grade. And learning how to play like a slide instead of like real notes was kind of a challenge. But then you just kind of kept working on it. Mrs. Harding's taught us everything we need to know, and now we just are where we are today.
What are some of your favorite memories of being in the band throughout the years?
Some of my favorite memories definitely happened during band camp or football games, because those are just the times whenever everyone's together and the energy is high and everyone's just having a lot of fun enjoying what they like to do.
All right. And for you, share with us what's next for you after school.
After school, I plan to go to the Lake Campus in Salina to study integrated sciences with a focus on agriculture.
Excellent. And maybe share with people, too, what are some of the things you'll be able to do with that degree?
With that degree, I hope to work at places kind of like soil and water conservation and just do a lot with natural resources around the area, especially with like farmland nearby and like watersheds and things like that.
All right. What drew you into that profession?
Well, my grandpa actually worked at the Mercer County Soil and Water Conservation for a lot of years, and I think he really enjoyed it. And whenever I was a kid, he'd teach me like to landscape and to garden and stuff, and I just kind of grew like a love for the outdoors and the soil. And then whenever last year I was in a Career Connections class learning like what I could do in the future, I realized that the field of natural resources was something that was really appealing to me, I guess.
All right. What's your grandpa's name?
My grandpa's name is James or Jim Will.
Okay, I think a lot of people know.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, as soon as you said that. So that's pretty neat. That kind of got passed on to you like that. So, and we wish you good luck with
Thank you too.
All right, let's give a moment here for our next person we're going to talk to. Tell us your name and what you play.
My name is Brady Deuce, and I play the tuba.
All right. That's a fun one, isn't it? Right? That big loud oompa, oompa tuba that you play, right? So what encouraged you to pick that up for the first time?
Well, funny thing was it wasn't my first pick of instrument. I actually played trumpet for the first 3 years of my band career, starting in fifth grade. And then in seventh grade, the band director was like, I really think you should be good at tuba. We have not very many tubas. So I was like, no, I think I'm good with trumpet. She just kept asking. I was like, sure, I'll give it a shot. And I did, and I don't regret it. It's been one of the best decisions I've ever made.
All right. Now, in a typical song that you play, I mean, how many times do you hit the tuba? I mean, is it pretty much a constant thing usually in a song? This is for somebody that never was in band, so I'm kind of curious about that.
Yeah, the tuba doesn't really have much, like, melodies. It's kind of just the bass. It's just the main beat. It doesn't really, like, you hear the tuba, but it's more of a kind of lifts up the band all together and just makes it sound coherent. That's kind of the job of the tuba.
Right, so kind of if you're doing it right, we might not really notice it kind of thing.
Right, it just depends. I mean, you definitely do hear it, but there's certain times when the tubas aren't really the start of the show. You just kind of set that beat, kind of like percussion. I mean, you hear them, but it's not really the goal to hear them. You kind of support the others.
Excellent. What's also interesting, I don't know, are you much of a Star Wars kind of fan around?
Not really. I can't say that I am.
Okay, I was going to say, because the tuba's a big part of Jabba the Hutt's theme. You know, when he would come onto the screen, and you almost needed that instrument to carry him. So, hey, there are times the tuba gets to shine, right?
Yep.
How about also for you, talk to us about what's next for you.
Yeah, so for me, I'm not sure on what college I'm going to yet, but my plan is biology education, so hopefully high school biology teacher or something in that realm.
All right. What made you interested in that?
Yeah, so my grandpa was actually a high school biology teacher, but he taught at a reformatory school, so he taught less privileged kids that really didn't have much. So I thought that was kind of inspiring. When I was a kid, I always went to his classroom, and he had a big greenhouse with plants and reptiles, and I just kind of always thought that was very intriguing to me.
All right. And, I'm sure you'll do well with that. You know, and being a teacher, too. I'm sure a lot of your teachers now are probably happy that you want to do that, right? To be a teacher. So. So also talk with us, if you would, about that time commitment for band. I mean, when you first picked up the tuba, how long it took you to play it, how much you have to practice.
Yeah, so with the tuba, I took it home that one first summer just because it was a new instrument, had no idea how to play it. But nowadays, I don't really take it home because, I mean, it's a tuba, it weighs pretty heavily. So I don't really take it home and practice on my own much. But with practices, I mean, we have practices twice a week for 4 hours. And then we have practices during band camp. We obviously have eighth period during the school day where we practice for 45 minutes. So there's a lot of practices and performances like basketball games, football games. I mean, you're practicing in itself just by playing for an audience. I mean, every time you play and pick up your instrument, it's technically practice.
That's for sure. Are there any, you know, songs in particular that you really have liked to play over the years?
Yeah, so one song in particular was the song we played this year for our Blur show was Another One Bites the Dust. I personally liked that song and helped picked it just because I'm a tuba player. I like that nice beat. I like playing something interesting. So I really wanted to play something that was strong and I could hear from the audience. So
that's excellent. That's a really good song, you know, for a game, isn't it?
Yeah.
And it is. Maybe not so much for a funeral, but it's good for a game to play. Yeah. Another One Bites the Dust. So that's pretty neat. Do you listen to Queen much?
Occasionally. I like listening to songs based off of just the beat in general, not necessarily gotcha. What's being said, since I'm a tuba. I like listening to the beat and if it pumps you up.
That's interesting to hear about, you know, for people that are into music, you know, what kind of music they like, because you're listening for other things than most of us would, right?
Right. Yeah, so when I listen to songs, I don't listen really to what's being said. I mean, that's also important, but it's really how it makes you feel, starting tapping your foot and really getting into the beat and the rhythm of it, just because that's what makes a song so catchy. I mean, the words, yeah, the words are great, but if the song isn't catchy and you don't feel something, the music behind that is kind of the thing that drives it.
That's true. Now, for anybody listening that perhaps they're younger, would you recommend joining the band? Would you know, overall experience for that?
Yeah, I would highly recommend joining the band. I've met so many great people. We've gone to so many great places. We've gone to Florida. We marched in the Disney parades. There's so many opportunities that you wouldn't expect there to be with band. And like I said, I've made so many memories with this. That's definitely something I'll remember for the rest of my life.
And for you, as you prepare to kind of close out, you know, your high school education, it's just a couple months away, hard to say. But overall, when you look back on it, I mean, you're pretty happy with, you know, with your education career at St. Henry?
Yeah, I'm extremely happy. I don't think there was be a single thing I changed as far as just being involved in the school. I think my contribution to the band has been something that I always remember, because knowing I haven't always been the most athletic, so I knew I wasn't going to be the star football player. So being in the band, I get a lot of time on the football field, so kind of works out.
Yeah, that it is. And you're right, not everybody's gifted enough to play sports, right? I was not, and so that's okay, right? You can certainly, you said, be in the band. You can watch sports all you want. I mean, you can still kind of be there, yep. Right? Listen, I want to thank all three of you for coming by, taking time to be with us. We certainly appreciate it. And I want to thank Tom's Construction. And we welcome you back here. We are back to school at St. Henry. We're talking with going to be Kyle and the Lego Robotics team. And with that, we have, I believe, 7 members. And, of course, their instructor. So we're going to get kind of right into it now. And beginning with our first guest, can you share with us your name, the grade that you're in, and, you know, what it is you enjoy so much about the robotics club?
Hello, I'm Hank Schlater. I'm in 7th grade. And sorry, what was that last thing
let's
you said?
Let's talk about what do you enjoy most about being a part of the Lego robotics team?
The thing that I probably like the most is the fact that you get to work as a team and it's not all individual, and you just learn so much stuff from it.
All right. Do you find, even when you're not in class, you were always kind of one of those folks that like to build things, tinker with things, etc.?
Yeah, I've always been into Legos and everything you can build with.
What are some of the things you've built over the years?
I've built too many to. Yeah. One of my favorite things, I've built this big airplane with working landing gear, and I helped my dad build. You know Harry Potter?
I do. Yes.
I've helped my dad build this big old set of the Hogwarts Castle.
Excellent. That sounds like that was fun. Time consuming, right? But fun.
It took a couple months.
Oh, right. Excellent. So, you know, for you in doing this, have you learned a lot from being a part of this?
I've learned not only teamwork, lots of things with electronics, and I've improved my cooperating skills and many other things.
Excellent. Sounds like that is a lot of fun for you. Appreciate that. Let's talk to our next student. Tell us your name and what you enjoy about being a part of LEGO Robotics.
Hi, I am Oliver Schmitz, and one of the biggest things I enjoyed was probably like getting to see all the people and their different ideas joining together in such unison. Kind of warmed me to see that. And came out with a product that I really enjoy and I think is actually pretty good.
And what was that product? Let's hear about that.
Well, for our innovation, we came up with this board game, which we at first were thinking about a website, but then somebody else brought up a board game. And it came out really well. It carried us past the first match, which we probably couldn't have gotten past it without it. And it really unified us mostly in the practice room.
Outstanding. Sounds like that is a lot of fun. Are there other things you're hoping to build someday?
Well, yeah, I'm hoping to expand probably on the idea of not just only mechanics when you're thinking about, like, solving problems, but also some of the more basic stuff that we used to use could be really helpful in solving modern problems that we overlook.
That's neat. Yeah, pretty neat. It seems like you can do almost anything with Legos these days. So outstanding. All right, that's our first two that we've talked to, and we'll talk to are we going to talk to everybody? Is that the plan? I want to make sure everybody gets mic time that wants to be in. Okay, are there?
Those three over there are good with not talking.
Okay, that'll work. And did you want to get on yourself?
I think he was one of the ones that did.
Okay, all right, because I just want to make sure, again, everybody has their opportunity to talk. We're equal opportunity talkers. Everybody that wants to be on. Yes, now so for everybody else in the back here, they're good, right?
Yeah,
okay. We never want to pass anyone over. We're that way. So share with us, if you would, please, your name and what you enjoy about being in LEGO Robotics.
My name is Aiden, and my favorite thing that I enjoy about LEGO Robotics is, like, what another person said, I really like how it, like, boosted my teamwork skills.
All right, and let's talk about that. What's the importance of teamwork? Obviously, I know one person can't build the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
But also, whatever part you get, you got to do that right, or you don't want to let everybody down, right?
Yeah.
Cool. What are some of the things you've built so far?
I have built some model Legos, like a bird or like a R2-D2 Lego set.
Okay. How realistic is the R2-D2? Does it move around, et cetera?
Yeah, you can move its head. You can, like, make it, like, look like it's rolling. Or, yeah.
Does it beep at you?
No, it does not.
Okay, that's all right. That's something to work on. Hey, when we were growing up, our toy R2-D2 did nothing. It was plastic with a little bit of paper. Now you can almost have the real robot in your house. So that's impressive. How far do you want to take this? What are some other things you hope to be a part of someday?
I just hope to be a part of, like, solving, big world problems or stuff like that.
Hey, you know what? I do believe solving a lot of the world's problems probably will start with Legos. It seems to make sense, right?
Yeah.
Legos can do anything, and they are great. Unless they're on the floor and you don't have your shoes on. Then Legos are not so great. But excellent. Let's meet you and tell us your name and what you enjoy about being in Legos for.
Hi, I'm Isaac Bergman, and the thing I most enjoy about it is actually building everything and putting things together and the changes we make along the way throughout the entire process.
Do you find it's also important not to give up? I'm sure, like, you've had some setbacks along the way, right?
Yeah, especially, like, the biggest one is probably, like, disagreements where we don't agree on one thing, but then eventually we like, well, this works, this could help. So then we would change it, and we would just go from there.
I would say as long as at the end, if the product works and there's no chairs being thrown, that's a good meeting, right? That's very productive. Yeah. That's how you want to do it. So pretty neat. For you, what would you like to do someday? I know you're still got a lot of years left in school, but do you want to kind of take this into life, so to speak?
Yeah, I would like to make things and improve different things to help different types of people, like with disabilities and stuff, so that they can do same things as other people can too.
How about that? And how about for you someday? What would you like to do?
I would like to work with do a little bit of animating, but I would really need to. I mean, I have worked with animating Lego, so I guess that is sort of practice to it.
Outstanding. Appreciate that. I want to also, before we wrap it up, I mean, it wouldn't be right if we didn't talk to your teacher. We're going to give him a chance to kind of get situated. We've talked to him before, of course, but we want to do this. Come on down here. And I mean, first of all, you know, for the audience that might not be familiar, introduce yourself and talk about how long you've been doing this.
Yeah. So my name is Kyle Kunk, and I'm the middle school principal. And we've had Lego robotics for the last probably 8 years. Mrs. Kelly Mullenkamp is our STEM teacher, and she is in charge of the program. So these boys start early in the school year, and they come in, you know, kind of early in the morning, right, boys?
Yeah.
So they work from 6:30 to 7:45, two mornings a week. And so as they progressed throughout the course of the year, so they basically work on a couple different things. The first thing that they work on, which is probably the more exciting part, which is the robot. So they kind of design a robot, and they build the robot. And then Oliver was pretty much our coder, and he was kind of coding the robot. And that's always a challenge to code the robot because, you know, you go on different surfaces, like we have our mat here at school, and then we go to different competitions. And at those competitions, the mat would configure a little bit differently, which is a major challenge for us. So that's part of the process, and they have to run different missions to get as many points as they possibly can. And the Lego designers definitely make it a challenge for sure. And then the other part of it is the teamwork component of it, where they kind of broke down into a couple different teams, and they would kind of flip back and forth on the innovation project and also the robot design part of it. So, super proud of these boys. They made it to the second level of the competition, and they actually earned a professionalism pin at that competition, and they also earned the breakthrough team award. So the judges obviously saw something really, really great with them. So, yeah, very proud of them.
Yeah, for sure. And just briefly talk to everybody, just a quick overview of what coding actually means. Does that pretty much get down to you're really – kind of telling this robot what it's going to do, et cetera?
Yeah, Oliver can probably speak a little bit better to it. But so basically when they go to code the robot, it's just basically a way of communicating with the robot from the computer, and they Bluetooth the robot to the computer, and then he kind of makes some adjustments based upon, how the robot is responding. And just different things like that. So yeah, it's a challenge, right, Oliver?
Yeah, and what robots do, in the modern world, they're involved in manufacturing, right?
Yeah.
For one thing, that's just one thing, right?
Yeah, which is one of the opportunities that these seventh graders had over the course of the year was to visit a couple local manufacturing companies, such as Crown. They got to see robots in action, and it was pretty neat for them to see, I'm sure. So, it was pretty neat for me to see, just because every year that I go to different places, I see more and more automation, and not like it's replacing people. It's just, maybe it's a little bit safer for an automated robot to be there as opposed to a human.
Yep. There are also times, because we've talked with, our friends in the healthcare field, when somebody's brought in the emergency room, that a robot is used because perhaps the doctor's in Columbus and they can remotely treat the patient,
Yeah, for sure. And, Yeah, so they're definitely going to be a part of our lives, and you know, kind of exposing these folks to kind of a preview of that, and just to kind of prepare them for the next level, I think is a great thing for you and I.
Also, how about, you know, as far as getting students in the class, I mean, is it always full? Is it kind of a privilege to get into this class? How's that work?
Yeah, so basically it's a club, and they, like I said, they practice in the morning, and we started out with a few more than eight, but, you know, there were some individuals that decided that they didn't want to participate. It really wasn't for them. They kind of got a taste of it, which is 100% fine, because we want those kids to be all in, and these kids were definitely all in. So, yeah, Mrs. Mollenkamp would run practice two mornings a week pretty much since the school year started, and here we are in February, and they yes, just finished up.
With another few minutes to go, Kyle, how is middle school, you know, going right now? You know, obviously being the principal, middle school years are pretty important. How's it going these days?
Yeah, no, it's going really well. We're fortunate to have some really great kids, which, you know, you're allowing things to happen a little bit more at a higher level. And, you know, our community holds these kids, and we hold these kids to a very high standard, and they continue to amaze me in terms of just what they can accomplish. And yeah, and we definitely got a little taste of that with this team over the course of the year.
Excellent, excellent. You know, and we also find out sometimes how quick a year goes by, don't we?
I cannot believe that we are in the middle of the third 90 weeks, past the middle of the third 90 weeks, and it's going to be over in a blink of an eye.
It's what they say is that the days are long, but the years are short.
For sure.
They are. For you, how long have you been in the district, and how long have you been middle school principal now?
Yeah, so I've been the middle school principal 12 years, been in the district 18.
Amazing.
So, yeah.
And I think you've been a part of back to school every time we've done it.
I have, for sure.
We appreciate it. And I know also, you and Mrs. Imwali and Mr. Putoff and also Mr. Rosenberg, you guys had a nice little thing going. You did a podcast earlier this year.
Yeah, we did. Neat. Yeah, it was pretty cool. Yep.
Yeah.
Mr. Putoff pushing us to the limit there.
That's a good thing.
Good stuff. Yep,
hey,
absolutely.
Thanks, everybody. We appreciate it. Thanks for sharing you know, with us about the Robotics Club. And also want to thank Bender Electric and Hemelgarn Marathon, the St. Henry Bank, along with Hall Brothers and Tom's Construction. And we are back for back to school here. We're going to talk with Heidi Kramer, Shannon Knopf, and also Science Club Officer about the Science Club itself. So let's get right down to it. Share with us your name, and you're an officer, right?
Yeah. My name's Ava Cordonier, and I'm a senior, and I'm the treasurer of the Science Club.
How long have you been in the Science Club?
I've been in the Science Club all 4 years of high school.
All right. What drew you to it? What drew you into that, I mean?
My freshman year, I just really wanted to get involved in, like, as many clubs as possible. And so a lot of my friends were also doing Science Club, and so we just wanted to participate.
What kind of stuff do you get to do in Science Club?
We do a lot of, like, the school's recycling. So for the elementary, middle school, and the high school, we collect the recycling from all the classrooms. And then once a year, we do roadside cleanup, which is where, like, we go through a bunch of, like, the local roads, and we pick up lots of the trash and litter.
Excellent. Yeah, good work to do, right? And recycling. I mean, if we can just keep passing that on to each successive generation, there's no reason not to, right? There's no reason not to recycle.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm glad to even say this Coke bottle is 100% recycled. They're bragging about it now, so it's a good thing. For you, you know, being a senior, you probably don't need me to remind you that you have just a couple more months of school to go. You're probably well aware of that. So
yep.
What I'd like to ask you is what's next for you after high school?
And after high school, I'm planning on going to Bowling Green, and I'm undecided in my major, but I want to pursue something in the medical field.
Okay, and that's, I think that's great, because sometimes you have your mind made up, but there's so many things you can do in the medical field, right? Mm-hmm. What are some of the different avenues you might be looking at to do someday?
I've looked into, like, nursing, or, like, being a labor and delivery nurse has really interested me, or I've looked into, like, physical therapy stuff, different things.
Yeah, and all of that, those are different directions you can go, but I could understand why you wouldn't know which one yet, because they all have their own appeal,
yeah.
You know? That's for sure. So, well, good for you, and good luck to
you.
All right, let's we're going to switch over now, and we'll meet our teachers. And so, again, if you share with everybody, you know, your name and, you know, talk with us a bit about your background a little bit before.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm Shannon Knopf. I teach high school chemistry, physics, and environmental science, and I'm a co-advisor to the science club.
All right. And where did you come from originally?
St. Henry.
And what got you into education?
It was kind of a backwards way into education. I was in the sciences. My major was in microbiology. And then I kind of found teaching through substitute teaching first and realized that I really liked it, really enjoyed it. And I subbed a lot at St. Henry High School, so they kind of encouraged me to go back and get a degree.
How long did that take?
The master's?
Yes.
Just another year.
Okay. You were ready to go.
Yeah. Basically. I had most of my coursework already finished.
And this is a unique story. I don't know that we've heard it quite like that before, where somebody kind of started subbing just to help out and then suddenly realized this is what I should have been doing all along,
yes,
right?
Yeah. That was kind of it.
That is kind of neat. For how long you've actually been teaching, how many years now?
13 years.
So when you look back at it over that time, I'm sure, especially with it being science, do you sometimes hear from former students and what they're up to these days?
Yeah, I get when they're in the community, they come back to the community. I'll get some feedback from them, especially the ones that I had in physics, because I have them more than 1 year in high school. We build a little bit more of a relationship over the 2 years. So a lot of times if you're going into physics, they might be going into medicine or something engineering based. So kind of a science based background.
Yeah, that's it seems also you've got one of those classes where, I mean, not everybody's good in science, I understand. Mm-hmm. But those who are, I mean, I'm sure that this isn't really work to them. They probably have a blast.
You think
so, yeah. And you talked about physics. I mean, what is that like to learn? Like, what are some things you learn in physics?
Currently, we're kind of finishing up classical mechanics, so forces, and talking about planetary motion right now. And then we'll switch over to electricity and magnetism towards the end of the year.
See, I'm already intrigued. That is interesting. And you think about the importance of science. I know every day we use things, don't even think about it. You turn the lights come on. We didn't have that to begin with, right? Yeah, I mean, somebody had to discover a way to power it.
Absolutely.
How electricity was. It all adds up.
Yeah.
I mean, we think about all the things we enjoy today all came from science, physics, et cetera, right?
So it's easy in physics to relate it to everyday happenings. And like just today we were talking about figure skating because of the Olympics and how they use angular momentum to get themselves spinning faster. And so it's very relatable.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting? They make it look so easy and slick,
they do.
Don't they?
They
are
do it.
The very best at what they do.
Yeah.
So that's pretty neat.
I do not belong on ice.
No. not unless you have like cleats or something. Yeah. You're not going to fall. I hear you there. All right, and share with us your name too and what you teach.
Hi, I'm Heidi Kramer, and I teach freshman biology, and then I also teach anatomy and physiology here at the high school.
And where did you come from originally?
So I'm a St. Henry graduate.
Excellent.
As well. And then I went to Ball State University for my undergrad.
Excellent. You know, we hear of so many, alumni who have come back to teach, right? And so people should know that happens a lot, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, there's something about coming back to the school that you graduated from. I mean, now I work with, you know, so many teachers that were my teacher, which sets a whole new dynamic, which is super fun. But
I bet they're happy to have you, though, right? They're proud of you, right? That you're able to do this.
They say they are, so
unless
they're lying.
I don't think they are. you know, when you talk about you teach, I guess, at freshman biology, right?
Yes, yep.
So what do you learn in a freshman biology class?
So we always start out with cellular biology, which is just learning about cells. And we start very small, and then we build up. Right now, we just finished our genetics unit, which I think is always fun. The kids love to look back at, you know, where did they get some of their traits from? Did they come from their grandparents? Did it come from their which side, from mom or dad's side? Did it come from their parents? And then we look at like unique traits and things like that, which I find a little more easier to learn. It gets them a little bit more intrigued, which is fun.
Yeah, heredity can be mind-blowing, dynamic, and rather frustrating.
Yes, I mean, and we learn on a basic level, which is super hard because I'm like, it goes so much further than this that, you know, things aren't just as simple as being dominant or recessive or, you know, passed on very easily that I'm like, there's a lot of weird traits out there that
and a lot of them
passed on.
That may hide for a couple generations.
Yes,
right?
Yep, and that's true too.
How do we get a kid with red hair? Well, this doesn't make sense. Well, somebody somewhere down the line, right?
Yeah, yep. And we have, I think, 4 sets of twins in our freshman class, which
amazing.
Is, it might even be 5. It's a lot though, that makes it adds a different dynamic to see if they're identical, if they're not, and their traits and how they came about, which is also neat.
You know that what's also, and you probably warned them too, that twins do tend to run in the family.
Yeah, so, yep, absolutely.
You know, you better know that going in. So a lot of fun.
Though, yeah, it is for sure.
That is. So that's kind of a good start. And then you also mentioned, but you're also teaching, in addition to biology, you also teach
anatomy and physiology. Anatomy.
So talk about how you kind of get into that when you get into anatomy. What you're working on, is it just to kind of start them at the basics and work the way up?
So we normally spend about a couple weeks. We review what they learned in biology and start very basic with cells again. And then we just build up through the system. So we actually just finished their biggest system, which was muscular system, which is very hard. Of course, my students did amazing. And now we just today started the nervous system, which I actually also really like. I find it easy to follow through. Things make sense. You know, you get pinched, you flinch, it records in your brain. You know,
yes.
I find it easy to follow the nervous system.
And why they call that one part of your elbow the funny bone when it's not funny when you hit it, right? Yes. And I also wonder, you know, if you don't even know it yet, you got some future doctors maybe in your class. They never thought about biology, yes. But you dragged them in and they're always going to want to know, you know?
That is the best part about being a teacher is when kids come back and they tell me that they went into a science or, I mean, anything related. And I'm like, that counts. I'm taking part in your career because I was part of that at some point. Or, you know, our other fellow science teacher, I always find that entertaining when they go into a science major of some sort.
You know, maybe there's people listening too that they left school years ago, but, you know, you can certainly do a deep dive and learn some things on the internet. Like you can learn about, like, people listening going, oh, the nervous system? Yeah, go learn about it. There's stuff you can read, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Actually, next year we're adding a forensic science class
there you go.
To our roster, and I'll teach that as well. But that should be fun, and that will kind of stem from anatomy a little bit and branch from that. But it should be fun to add a different level of classes.
For you now, again, how many years have you been teaching here now? This is
at St. Henry, this is only my fourth year.
Fourth year.
But I've been teaching 8 years.
8 years. You know, just for fun as we kind of wrap it up today, go back to that, you know, day one, 8 years ago when you were a teacher for the first time. What is that like when the bell rings, the kids are looking at you like, okay, teach us something, and you realize it's for real? That had to be pretty exciting.
Oh, it's terrifying.
I was going to say
especially,
that, too.
I mean, when you graduate, you know, I was only 22 when I graduated college and then got into my first school. Where I had high school seniors, and it's like, man, some of us are 3 years apart like that.
Yes.
So that aspect of it is wild.
That's for sure.
I mean, now I'm old, so it's fine. But
oh, I don't know. I think old is a relative term, right? Because if you're old, I'm ancient. I just want you to know. I want to thank you for coming. Great to meet you. Great to meet you, too. Good luck to you. You're going to do great things at BG.
Thank you very much.
I don't want to slight any Toledo people who are friends of mine, but BG is a great school. It's a nice city to be in, and I think you're really going to like it up there.
Thank you.
So thank you. I don't know where the time goes. It went by really quick.